This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Best show, hi.
You know, it's a cookie that doesn't get any love anymore.
What's that?
The duplex cream.
The duplex cream.
Yes.
What is a duplex cream? I'm trying to remember what that is.
Well, it's a tweak on the Oreo, and I wouldn't be surprised if we did some research on this if we found out that it existed before the Oreo. Basically, it's a vanilla cookie,
yeah,
a chocolate cookie, and vanilla cream in the middle. So it's a little tweak.
Okay.
And the reason I don't think more people really give it the respect it deserves is that it's usually, like, most supermarkets have their own version of the duplex cream.
Okay.
And it's always kind of a budget cookie.
Okay.
So I think that's why it's kind of never got its due. Mm-hmm. But I also love Nutter Butter.
You're in big.
I know it's not hip.
Well, I don't know if any of these cookies are hip necessarily.
Well, I don't know.
But you think Nutter Butter is especially not hip?
Well, I think it's seen as probably like an older person's kind of cookie.
A Nutter Butter?
Yeah, like the. What are they called? The Vienna Finger?
Yeah, that seems like an old person cookie.
Yeah. Is it Vienna or Vanilla?
I think it's Vienna.
Okay.
I don't think it's Vanilla Finger cookies.
I don't know.
Yeah. So,
Are you watching Chernobyl?
I'm not watching Chernobyl. Don't spoil it for me.
I just started it. Uh-huh. Today. I'm not going to give any spoilers. It's kind of scary. But I'll tell you, it's on HBO, so I'm just sort of counting down the minutes until there's some sort of stand-up comedy element to it.
Uh-huh. That other than you'd... I would like it if suddenly... Look, the whole thing's a tragedy, obviously.
Right.
But if suddenly... If Pete Holmes was in the core... Right? The reactor core?
Right, right.
That would at least be something to see.
It would. And he'd be talking to his friend Sergi about how he has to MC
uh-huh.
tonight at the Gorky Park Laughatorium or whatever it is.
And how it's the worst thing that could ever happen as the reactor melts down.
It's the worst thing that could happen while literally one of the worst things that have ever happened is happening.
Yes. And he's talking about that still.
I would not put it past these cats.
Yeah. These stand-ups, man. That is something else. Hey,
taking over the world.
They are taking over the world. Can I ask what your name?
Oh, we don't need to get into that. Let's just say that I'm a big Best Show fan, and I've been listening for a few years. I love the show.
Mm-hmm. I think I recognize your voice.
Look, I should go.
No, please don't.
I love the show.
No, please don't. Can I just ask before? Look, okay, before you go, then.
Okay.
This isn't Billy Kincaid, is it?
Ding, 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 ding. At your service.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is huge. This is huge. I didn't know you listened. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I don't even know why I would have to say who you are. Everybody knows who you are. You're one of the biggest rock stars going, and you're calling the show. You're one of the biggest in the world. And I saw you.
Are you a fan?
I saw you. Yeah, I am. I saw you as back at the. In I think it was 87. It must have been the what goes up, must come down tour. Is that what the tour was called?
That was 87. Yeah.
Yeah, that was out at that was at the Garden, and at the Meadowlands. It was the one after this, To the Bone.
Oh, what a tour that was!
Yeah.
What show did you see?
At the I think it was the first night at the Meadowlands.
Oh my God, we did four, and that was just you know, you do these multi-night stands, and the first night is, you know, you're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You're always kind of nervous, but the first night's different because it's a new room and you want to be great, and you know you've got three more. And although, you know, the next two are sold out, that the final one is, you know, is kind of creeping there, and you want that word of mouth to be good for that fourth night to sell out too.
Yeah, yeah. You want to make sure they all count in different ways, I guess, huh?
Exactly. And we try to do the set a little different every night. And you know, back then, especially, you know, I think I'm in good shape now, but back then, you know, I was, you know, on fire. So we'd play a long time too, and I just remember that particular To the Bone tour being some of the best shows we ever did. And I thank you for coming.
Oh, cool. No, it was exciting. It was exciting to, as a kid to see that.
Oh, yeah.
What, no. Like, can I don't know how you, like, you're listening? Is that, like, I don't know, I did not know you listened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm listening right now, and it's interesting, I'm actually in the Quin Cities right now, and it's a real thrill for me to get to listen to it live in New Jersey.
Uh-huh,
and the way I was turned on to the show, I was doing a benefit in New York City a few years ago, and this kid named Kurt Vile, he was on the bill, and he turned me on to the best show.
Sure. Kurt is a friend of the show. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Interesting guy. I'll tell you, the real talent in that family is the brother.
Uh-huh. He's the real talent.
Oh, yeah.
Jello man.
Yes, yeah, he's a great kid and a real go getter.
Uh huh. Yeah, he really is. Real hustler.
Someone should do a documentary on him.
Yeah, if only.
Yep.
Yeah. So you said you're in New Jersey now, huh?
Yes. I'm actually doing a private show in Newbridge tomorrow afternoon before my show tomorrow night at the Garden State Art Center.
Okay, a private show.
Yeah,
is that like a? I guess. Who are? Can I ask who you're doing the private show for?
You know, I don't think he'd mind. It's Ricky Kern.
Okay, Ricky Kern, man, he's. I mean, everybody knows Kern Pharmaceuticals, and the CEO is Maurice Kern, and Ricky's the youngest of the Kern children.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a big music fan, and at the Art Center, he has boxes. He has a box that's literally on stage that he watches the concerts from, so you see him watch the show when you're there.
It's very odd. Yeah, it's an odd experience to be the performer and this guy's in a box kind of on stage.
Yeah, and definitely making himself seen and his presence known.
Yeah, it's very, very odd, and it's you know, yeah, you feel like you're totally under the microscope. And but I mean, props to him. You know, he made his obviously he's an heir to the Kern fortune, but he also did make that killing on his, I don't remember this, his knockoff of the Garbage Pail Kids. His was called the Garage Pail Kids.
Yes, those were these popular weird little cards that were shockingly popular.
They were. I never quite understood what a garage pail was. I guess it's just any kind of pail you would have in a garage. Maybe you have old oil in it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or one of those, like, orange Home Depot pails that they think they sell for, like, a dollar at Home Depot.
Yeah, I bought a couple of those over the years for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ricky, when he's at these things, he is always doing like the last couple of times I've seen him, he was doing air guitar.
Right. Yeah.
Really. Just say he either hams it up,
mm-hmm.
or he seems completely disinterested, and he'll read like a magazine during the show.
Oh my God, I've never seen that. Someone told me about that. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. And I think it's gotten to the point where Ricky knows that people are down on him and that they don't even want to be at the shows anymore. And he's really become persona all gratin at the Art Center, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically that's why I'm doing this private show for him tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, this private show thing is such an odd, interesting concept that people are, who I guess have a ton of money, will hire. I guess is that what it is? They have a ton of money so they can. How does it work? How does that work? I don't know as much about it as I would like to.
In a nutshell, and let me say right out of the gate here, I'm not talking about these house shows that a lot of current singer-songwriters play nowadays. There's this whole circuit of houses that put on shows all across the country, and people will go and they'll perform for like 50 or 60 people or so, and they make a good living doing it. So I'm not talking about that kind of house show at all, okay?
Okay.
You know, that's the way a lot of these singer-songwriters make a living now, and I support that 100%.
Sure.
I'm talking about a whole different thing.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what happens is in this situation is one of these one percenters,
uh-huh.
he or she will reach out to my management with a request for a private show, and management comes up with a figure, and it's usually what we ask for a normal concert. And then okay. if they accept, we'll proceed from there. And mm-hmm. if the person agrees to the fee, I'll show up with a scaled down version of my band.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do like 7 or 8 songs, glad hand with the host and you know, like 20 or so of his friends. And that's basically what happens. And a lot of the times the people who host these shows, who pay for it, they play guitar and they play music and they're going to want to jam, you know, and that's a whole other can of worms. Sure.
And do you enjoy doing these shows?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Well, you know, Tom, I gave up all intoxicants 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I did that after I crashed Johnny Depp's hovercraft into Sammy Hagar's Hummer's Hummer in Cabo. That was a whole weird thing. Sammy Hagar, he had a Hummer, and it had a Hummer attached to it, like a sidecar. And basically, I took the whole thing out.
I remember that. That was like, like 20 or so years ago.
Yeah, it was a big news story.
Yeah. And it's weird that he would, yeah. Okay, well, that was a good chance for you to learn your lesson, I guess, and learn it's time to change your ways, huh?
Absolutely. You know, and those were super different times. And basically, I was on literally everything that night.
Mm-hmm. Literally like everything.
Everything you can imagine, I was on it.
Okay.
Yeah. And including all those designer drugs, you know, from back in the day, you know.
Uh-huh.
Purple Steamboat, liquefied otter droppings, to name just two.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, now,
yeah.
Since I'm sober from all, I don't do any of that stuff, these house shows are my drug.
They're your drug. How would these private house shows be your drug?
Well, first let me say I love my fans.
Sure, of course.
They're the greatest people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. But these super rich cats who think they can buy you for the day, mm-hmm. that's a whole nother story.
Okay.
90% of these guys tell me that, oh my God, I wanted a career in music, but I decided to go to college instead, you know, play it safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now they're in their late 50s, and they regret not pursuing their rock and roll dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now they're super rich yeah. from non-musical means.
Okay.
And so, of course, they now get to skip 100% of the line, and now they get to be rock stars and jam with a guy who still fills arenas in these big amphitheaters.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not too insulting, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. No, I gotcha.
I mean, it's like I've only worked my entire life doing this, you know, paying my dues, living hand-to-mouth for the first 10 years of my career, while these guys, they live the cushy life, climbing the rungs of the corporate ladder.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I know, Tom, this is incredibly petty for me to say, but I feel like, you know, stay out of my yard, I'll stay out of yours. And it's like, you don't see me writing ad copy for Wiener Pills, right?
No, like yeah, okay, that's a fair, yeah, that's a fair point.
Right, and I'll tell you, these shows, these house shows, you've seen these Wiener Pill commercials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the guys in their early 60s jamming?
Yeah. They all look like they're somehow... It looks like they clone the guy from the Trivago commercials
exactly.
to, like, varying degrees of success.
And they gave him a little hat.
A little hat and, a brand new guitar.
That's it, yep. So
in a super clean garage.
That's exactly, and that's basically who I'm playing to, mm-hmm. 20 to 30 of those guys at these
sure.
shows.
Yeah. Now, you know, you mentioned these private shows and stuff. I actually, I did one. It was like a live version of this show, a private show of the best
really?
Show. Yeah.
Like some super fan.
Yeah, a few years ago, and I can say it was a disaster.
What happened?
Well, nobody knew what was going on. I don't know who arranged for us to, you know, it seemed like it was just super awkward. And then we did the thing because I do these calls, and then the guy I do the calls with called in, John, and
what's his name?
John Worster. And, the guy who is the host, he knew what the show was, and he wanted to hear a call, like a Sharpling and Worster call, featuring this character from, like, 2002. And then, so we start doing it, and then the host is just like, John's not doing the voice right. And he clearly was, like, overly obsessed with that one call. And then John got really mad and hung up mid-call. It was so bad and just so uncomfortable. I ended up there by myself, and I ended up having to have people rank the kinds of pasta.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's so, like, pasta brands or the kinds like penne?
Like penne or just like...
I like linguine.
Exactly, yes. Like, do you like angel hair pasta? I was like, that sucks. Like, angel hair. Yeah. And I just was making up... I had no point of view on any of this.
Oh,
and I had to...
How long were you contracted to perform?
3 hours. It had to be a three-hour
show.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. And John
what
hung up at about
do?
The 25-minute mark.
Well, good for him. Those voices are hard, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And some
no,
guys
not
only
that
have
hard.
Like four voices in them.
Yeah, I can say they're not that hard in the scheme of things. I would.
Huh.
I think that gets overplayed a whole lot is how hard.
I don't know. Some of those voices are tough, and they like a real gruff voice.
Uh-huh.
Like that will really wear after a while, and after a while you can't do it anymore.
Well, I mean, but it's only like once a week, so it's not like it's. Being. Well, look,
we can argue about
this all night. Billy, we can argue about this all night.
Sure.
But we won't. Can I ask you? I guess it's probably it's a rude question. I'm not even going to get into it. I couldn't even imagine how much you get paid for these shows.
Oh my God, the money is honestly, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's even more than my regular guarantee.
Uh-huh. Really?
These guys have so much money they just want to throw it around. And it's funny, I talk to my buddies like John Bon Jovi and John Fogerty, and I'll tell you, we're kicking ourselves now for not doing these private shows sooner. Uh-huh. It's such a windfall. It's like, it's the perfect situation. We do the private party at the A-Holes McMansion during the day, and then I play for the real people later that night. So it's two extreme paydays in 10 hours.
Wow, that's impressive. And like, yeah. What with these rich guys? Like, what are your actual kind of interactions with these rich guy hosts?
Tom, you know that gesture sometimes people make where they're like, it's like they're pleasuring themselves and rolling their eyes.
Uh huh.
That's basically what I'm doing right now.
Oh, that's okay. That's what that's like. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, so it, of course they all play guitar, like I said earlier, and they just want to immediately show me their guitar collections.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so rich that they can afford all these great guitars, and many of them were formerly owned by, you know, by like legends like Jimmy Page or Jeff Beck or Joe Perry.
Yeah.
And those guys would kill to have these guitars back. I might add.
But these rich guys got their hands on them.
Exactly, yeah. So I pretend to be super interested, but secretly I'm like monumentally annoyed that these great guitars are in some D-Nozzles trophy case and not in the hands of actual working musicians who could actually make a living playing them.
Sure, sure.
So, like, then I'll like go, oh, man, show me your stuff, you know? So I ask them to play a little bit, and I pretend to be blown away by their skill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And I tell them how amazing they are, and then I'll ask, "Will you give me a lesson?"
Uh huh.
And it's totally like that Mr. Show sketch where David is a dying guitar student, and Bob is the guitar teacher who tells him how incredible he is.
Uh huh. Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they always want to sit in with the band, and of course I'll let them because they're paying so much, and I'll even let them solo for as long as they want.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then they always want to play me their songs.
Uh-huh, like they've got their original compositions.
Oh, of course they do. And 9 out of 10 times,
yeah,
they're just like the songs that David Brent wrote for Foregone Conclusion on The Office.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, like really, you know, like that.
Songs about like what they imagine the road is like, uh-huh, and like this super basic but super misguided spiritual stuff.
Okay.
And then I'll just act like the songs are just incredible, you know, and I'll say, oh my God, I'd be so honored to write songs with you someday.
Okay. But what happens like when they follow up on that and try to contact you?
Oh, then I just spend the rest of my life avoiding them at all costs.
Avoiding these guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. To the point where I'll post photos of them at the entrances to my shows so security will know not to let them in. And if they do get in, they're to be removed from the premises. And I know of at least 5 who've been arrested.
Huh. Well, I mean, that's kind of something that I guess a lot of people would consider cruel.
Cruel?
Yeah.
You want to know what's cruel?
What's cruel?
Having to listen to a guy in dad jeans and a crisp, untucked, button-down shirt with vintage guitars on it prattle on about the $50,000 Les Paul he just bought that he'll never play in public.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So while he's sitting there in his ergonomic desk designing running shoes that are going to be made in Chinese sweatshops, I'm sweating my ends off on stage in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh. But I mean, that's fair. No, I get where you're coming from. But I mean, but these guys are excited to be around you. And I mean, it feels like there's something a little wrong about you taking advantage of them like this.
Oh, I'm not taking advantage. You have no idea what these guys are like, Tom. The entitlement these guys have, it's just like John Mellencamp. It's off the charts.
Oh, that's like a zing, little thing. Yeah, there zing. You go. Because he's not on the charts anymore. I gotcha. That's like a music joke.
No, he's not.
Joke.
Uh-huh. He sure isn't.
You got a little bit of beef with John Mellencamp or something?
I wouldn't call it a little beef. It's decent size.
Okay. What is that about?
No, I don't want to get into it.
Well, just tell me a little bit what it is.
All right. So basically, we're doing that bridge benefit that Neil puts on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know? And so, you know, I smoke.
Uh-huh.
And I smoke it's a hard to find brand. It's basically Marlboro Yellows.
Yellows, okay.
Yeah. It's got like 17 times the tar in it.
Uh-huh.
I just love it. I don't know. I'm just, you know, obviously I'm addicted to cigarettes, but I'm addicted to this particular brand.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
I have a carton.
Uh-huh.
For that day.
Yeah.
And I go off to, you know, to catering to get something, like a salad or something. I come back and carton's there, but it's missing a pack.
Okay.
And so I'm looking around, and you know, I know that JCM smokes Yellows too.
Okay.
So I go up and I go, "Hey, little bastard, hand him over."
Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Uh-huh.
And I go, "I think you do."
Uh-huh, okay.
And he goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I point to his sleeve. He's got a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve, just like James Dean or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm my ultimate fan for saying this, and I say, "Hey, man, stop sucking on that chili dog and give me my Yellows back."
Okay.
Get it?
No, I get it. It's one of his lyrics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it was even better than that. I said, I even included the outside the Tasty Freeze part.
Okay. Uh huh.
So it was a killer.
A killer
bust.
Burn. Yeah, you burned
it
pretty hard. Yeah.
Total burn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, I go, "Look, I know you did it. I know you took it. Just give it back." And he's playing off like he didn't. I said, "Look, just give them back." And finally, he's not going to give them back, so I grabbed them from the sleeve. I undid his sleeve and I took it, and I thought we were going to square off to fight, you know, because, you know, I touched him. I put my hands on him.
Yeah.
Who shows up but Taylor Hawkins, and he breaks it up.
The drummer in the Foo Fighters, the cool
kid
cool
from the Foo Fighters,
kid
yeah.
Kid from the Foo Fighters, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, "Hey, guys, let's be cool."
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sure.
You're both titans in the industry.
Uh-huh.
You know? Surely there's enough Yellows to go around. And you know what? He was right.
Uh-huh. Well, that's cool. He's a peacemaker.
Yes. And we joked about it, JCM and I. And I said, you know, this could be an episode of Seinfeld if they ever start it up again.
Uh-huh. Well, if they ever start Seinfeld up again.
Yeah, yeah, like this weird misunderstanding. It wasn't a misunderstanding. He took them, but, you know, that kind of thing. Like, a whole episode could be based on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Seinfeld's coming back anytime soon. I would say it's probably not the highest odds.
Who knows? You know, I'd love to get this idea in front of Larry David, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
I think it could really fly. I'll tell you who I don't want involved with it at all, and if he is involved, I'm going to walk off the set. Larry Charles.
He was like a director, I think, right?
He's a weirdo, man.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. You want no part
of
Larry?
I don't like it.
Sure, that's fair.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want it.
Okay, all right, Billy.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, one of my other highs is seeing these rich MFs negotiate between trying to be super cool and also being super pushy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They all think that because they paid a ton of money for me to play in their house, that I owe them basically everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll sign whatever they want. I'll pose for pictures. But I'm sure as hell not going to get on the phone with their golf buddy, Ronnie, and shoot a fat for 25 minutes. Uh-huh. No way, no day.
Yeah, so can I just ask you, if this It seems like you're so annoyed by everyone involved in these things. But I guess outside of the money, why are you doing this?
Well, that's like asking why is purple purple? Some things are just unknowable, Tom.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But look, in my defense,
mm-hmm.
there are altruistic reasons for me doing these house shows, okay? I'm not just some rich rock star who's also a psychopath, although my four ex-wives would probably beg to differ.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's their business, yeah.
Well, basically, here's what happens. I bring in 20 people from the local homeless shelter, yeah. and then I have them help themselves to the incredible spread that the host has put out.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. it's great because the D-bag host, he will never protest because what a terrible look that would be, right?
Yeah.
But they are undeniably angry to have these untouchable people in their castles. It's incredible to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy I get from watching these cats try to avoid people who are genuinely struggling to survive, it's indescribable. It's like that first hit of pure Muffler Road grade blue that you have.
Sure, everybody remembers the...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, I got
that
you.
That first hit is amazing.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. The first hit is amazing. From what I hear, I was never mind.
It's just... You can tell me you did it.
Yeah. No, I didn't, actually. I kind of sat that one out.
So, look, at the end of the year, I get all the private show hosts together in one place as a thank you to my, quote, biggest fans, which, of course, is BS because they're just my richest fans.
Okay.
So, while that's happening, I'm at my house in Malibu.
Yeah.
And I have some weak but plausible excuse that I gave them for why I can't be there in person. Like I'm writing songs or I had a hip replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's a giant video screen in the room where all the house show hosts are.
Okay.
And I play this video compilation of me at their houses complimenting each one of them on how great their McMansion is. Uh-huh. Really laying it on thick.
Uh-huh.
And I say the exact same thing in each video. Oh, man, I thought I was rich. But your house puts mine to shame. You rock, Steve. And like 75% of these guys are named Steve. It's so weird.
That is strange.
So super weird.
Yeah.
So, then I play a compilation of each of these douches soloing on their $30,000 guitar, interspersed with footage of this 10-year-old Filipino girl playing the exact same solo 10 times better.
Oh, like a, so like a YouTube video.
Exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. So these nozzles can grasp the reality of just how generic they are.
Uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh. I mean, that is, I got to say, that is, I see, it's very funny.
It's pretty brilliant.
I kind of can't get past how mean it is.
Oh,
but it is you know, yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, see it from our end, all right? And
our end.
We all do it. We okay. all do this. Bonnie uh-huh. Raitt, Sting, Bob Weir, John Mayer, Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
We all do these videos. We call them douche comps.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah. And every January 14th. We all get together at Jimmy Buffett's house, and we watch our douche comps.
Okay.
Yeah. See, they've all done private shows also throughout the year, so everyone's got their own douche comps, and it is a blast.
To play, everyone's playing them, and they're all just you guys recreating the same moment over and over again to just show how the same thing happens at every one of these shows.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean... You say it's cruel. It's basically for us. It's like a steam valve.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So we let our tension go, but we've also got that satisfaction of knowing that the person we're kind of busting on pays us, you know, $250,000 for 4 hours of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no. It's. I get it. I mean...
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's this one guy.
Uh-huh.
I can't say who he is because he's super rich and powerful. At various points, you know, from the early 2000s to, you know, a few years ago, he hired all of us to play in his luxury apartment.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Total blowhard. He'd yammer on and on about how rich he was and, you know, who he was tapping. He was so weird. I couldn't even tell if he liked music or not. Like, when you're playing, I would look over and he looked like he was trying to move to the music, but you could tell that he was also looking at either his kids or his wife to find the beat, to find, like, where they were tapping their foot or clapping.
Sure.
And then you go up to him and you try to get him clapping, but it was hopeless. Like, you'd be going, and he would never be able to do it in time. And at one point I gave him my guitar just to kind of fool around with. And straight out of Take the Money and Run, he started blowing into it.
Into, like, he thought it was like a wind instrument.
He did, yeah. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And this guy's like the grade A weirdest person I've ever met. And at first I thought I was being pranked. Because this cat was so awkward, the way he was trying to appear human. It was so bizarre, and then he started bragging about some dumb yacht that he had, and he kept referring to the one side of the boat as the starburst side.
Starburst, not starboard.
Like the candy. How sad is that?
Yeah.
And so I just kept trying to get him to say starburst side as many times as possible.
Okay.
I think I got like 16 out of him. And so, you know, and I just thought this was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. So I get the message to John Bon Jovi when he does a show for him to keep bringing up the yacht. And he did the same thing. He told John Legend about it, and John Legend did the same thing. And before you knew it, there was this contest between all of us FPs to see who could get this idiot to say starburst side the most. And there had to be audio or video proof of it. And you know who won?
Who?
Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
He did, yeah. It's the funniest thing you've ever heard. He got him to say it at least 60 times, 6-0. It would be like, you know, like Dylan is so weird on his own. You know, he's got that thing where he's just like, you don't even know if he is aware of your presence, even though you're a foot in front of him.
Okay.
So he's got the hood up. In the video, and they're like in the thing, and he goes, so if I drop my wallet off the right hand side of the boat, what would I say to the captain? And the guy goes, oh, well, you would say I lost it on, I dropped my wallet on the starboard side of the boat.
Okay.
Wait, what do you say? And he just got him to say it so many times. It's the funniest thing ever.
That's hilarious.
A lot of people don't think Dylan's that funny, but he is.
Okay.
Loves this movie called Clifford.
Clifford. It's a Martin Short movie.
Yeah. He loves this one line in particular where I've never seen it, but I guess what's her name? Mary Steam Virgin?
Steam.
Mary Steam Virgin.
Yeah.
Asks, who's the guy that plays the adult in it?
Charles What's Grodin.
Charles Boyer, yes. He tells Charles Boyer, You don't like kids. And Charles Boyer is like, I love kids. And he goes, I love my nephew. And Mary Steam Virgin goes, well, what's his name? And he goes, I want to say Manson. Charles Manson.
No, it's Mason. I think the line is Mason. It's not Manson.
Oh, well, Dylan's been telling the story weird the whole time, then. I think his version's funnier.
Okay, well, it's not accurate, though, but it might be funnier. That's
okay.
Fair. So,
well, anyway, so we all left notes for each other behind this super garish painting that this house show host had of himself.
Okay.
So, you know, we leave notes for each other about him.
Yeah.
And almost all the drawings were, you know, they were like these weird drawings we did of them. You know, like, kind of gross stuff, and Bonnie Raitt's were the sickest.
Really?
Oh, yeah, super dirty stuff, just hilariously vile.
Okay.
Meatloaf's were good, too. He's really effed in the head.
Meatloaf is effed in the head.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, speaking of, like, other FTs.
Yeah.
This is so funny. It's just between you and me. Springsteen wants to do these shows so bad, these private shows, because the money's so huge.
Yeah.
And no one really ever knows about them.
Yeah.
But he can't bring himself to do it.
Really? Because of
he thinks it's a bad look.
Mm-hmm. Like it's an image thing, sure.
Yeah, he's like a man of the people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so we joke about it all the time. You know, I always text him when I'm doing one of these private shows, and I send him a photo of the huge spread that the host laid out.
Uh huh. Okay.
And then I'll send a photo of the check.
Uh huh.
And he always texts back something like, "Oh, is that what an artist's dignity goes for nowadays?" Which is pretty funny.
Yeah. No, that's a good zinger.
And then I'll text back, "F you, you effing D-head."
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, and then he'll text back, you know, something like, "Be me, you GDF-wad."
Uh-huh, okay.
And well, then we just go all night.
Sure. No, it seems pretty intense there. Like, you got a pretty dirty text exchange going.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What is it, Billy?
Oh, man. That super rich guy I told you about that we made fun of?
Mm-hmm.
It was Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Okay. That you know, sure. That tracks now with the things you were saying, I guess.
I don't know if you know, but he's president now.
Uh-huh. No, I'm aware of that, yeah.
Well, I just looked out my window.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of Secret Service goons outside my door.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Secret
Service guys are lined up outside?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
What?
Oh my God, you hear that?
I heard something.
Oh my God.
What is that?
Well, it sounds like a whip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not a whip.
What is it?
It's a super long necktie, the kind the president wears.
Uh-huh.
Only it's made of like really hard leather.
Okay.
And they're dipping the leather in water.
Okay.
Oh my God, they're using them as lassos. Oh my God, they're lassoing them over their heads.
Uh-huh.
It's just a matter of time before these guys scale up the window.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are you going to be okay?
I don't know. You know, I. It's clear that they consider me a subversive individual.
Mm-hmm. Because
oh my
of,
God,
yeah.
I can just tell they're going to go to town on my haunches.
Well, you got to be okay. You got to.
Oh no, I'm not going to be okay.
You got to be
oh
all right.
Oh my God. Oh no. I don't know what's worse: the fact that I'm going to get my haunches beat, or that Eddie Trunk said he's on his way over.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's a two-way tie for last.
He's a real piece of work, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Oh no! Here they come! My haunches! My haunches are my life. I have my haunches insured for at least $3,000 on each haunch.
Uh huh. Wow, that's
$300,000. You gotta believe me.
I believe you.
No.
No, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Are you okay? You're not? Well, is he there? I think he hung up.